I still, I have a, well, it's more of a hate-hate relationship with these things. I don't know that I've ever gotten one to work appropriately in the moment. So, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians. We're going to be in chapter 12. You know, one of the great comforts, I think, of the scriptures is it's easy to look at the way that we it's easy to look at ourselves, to look at the way that we do church, to look at the church in the, you know, in the year 2015 and think to ourselves, you know, man, we've really fallen a long way from what God's original heart might have been for us. I bet the apostles knew how to do it. And then you read the book of, then you read the book of 1 Corinthians and you realize that from the get-go, you know, immediately with the formation of the early church came a host of problems, a host of issues where there was all kinds of stuff that that was out of whack. You know, 1 Corinthians, there's actually three letters to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians is actually 3 Corinthians when it comes to chronological order. First and 3 Corinthians actually made it into the canon. The second one did not. For a number of various reasons. But when you read these two books, you know, 1 Corinthians summed up is basically Paul saying, don't make me come there. And 2 Corinthians is it's good I didn't have to come. And now you're really in a hard spot. So be encouraged. You know, so there's this really interesting interplay where you can see in 1 Corinthians where they get it wrong. And then somewhere along the way, they begin to listen to some of the things that Paul tells them, and it doesn't necessarily make their lives peaches and cream. But in 2 Corinthians 4, or in the book of 2 Corinthians, particularly chapter 4, you see Paul interacting with them in a very, very different way that shows that when they applied the principles that he had given them in the first letter, they were not the same church in the second letter that they previously had been. So in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, chapter 2 sort of work together in a single spot because one of the major issues the Corinthians are having is the worship of the Spirit and lowercase s, like just spirituality and particularly spiritual gifts. Like they're getting things out of priority in their own lives. And they're getting to the point where they're becoming very Gnostic in their faith. Gnosticism says that the spirit is good and the flesh is bad. And so, like, essentially, as long as you're a very spiritual person, it doesn't actually matter how you live your life. So by the time he gets to 1 Corinthians 3, he's already beginning to talking about judgment and saying the things that you're doing are going to be put through the fire at some point, and the stuff that's eternal will last. But I'm afraid that you folks aren't going to have anything that makes it through because it's not that they're out of balance, it's that they're not walking in fullness. This has gets so bad that by chapter 5, Paul is saying, you are so focused on the wrong things that there's actually a moral situation where a person is having an inappropriate sexual relationship with his stepmother. And he's saying, you got to purge this sin from your body because that's not you. 1 Corinthians 6, he says, what you are is a temple, and a temple is meant to be pure. So purify yourselves and be who it is that God called and made you to be, which is a place that can house worship. And that's what 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 are all about. We know chapter 7, 8, and 9 are all about giving, how to give in the house of God. Chapter 10 is how to deal with sort of like questionable issues. Do I eat meat sacrificed to idols? Do I not? Chapter 11, we come down to the most important meal, communion, where these people are getting drunk and they're pushing each other out of line and they're getting all kinds of craziness going on. But in the back of their heads is still, well, at least we've got the gifts. At least we've got the gifts. At least we've got the gifts. You know, we can do that. And so what Paul brings them to is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in 1 Corinthians 12, he gives them some important lists, right? So verse 4. Now, let's start in verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in every one. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given the Spirit, through the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So these are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Right? I mean, you can see that word. It's very, very clear. It's right there in verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And then he gives you a list. These gifts, when these are in operation, when you see these things showing up in the life of the church, that is the Holy Spirit manifesting himself in your midst. It is the Holy Spirit making himself known. So a word of knowledge, right? An ability to know something that you would not previously have known if God had not told you about it. A word of wisdom, the ability to speak the word that that missing piece of advice or counsel that someone needs that could only come through the power of the Holy Spirit. The faith to supernaturally believe deep things. The faith to heal. All these things come through the same Spirit. The ability to discern what spirits are in a room. To know what is good, what is bad. To know where to follow, where not to follow. These are key. These are not the only manifestations of the Holy Spirit that we see in Scripture, but these are all true manifestations of the Holy Spirit that we see in Scripture. And on many levels, all of these gifts are somehow linked to prophecy. Right? All of these gifts, all of these manifestation gifts are linked to prophecy. Chapters 12, 13, and 14 work together. So if you continue in the flow, right? And if we don't pull this list out and just, because that's what usually happens. We take this list out and we define them, we get excited about them, and we take tests to find out who has what and that kind of a thing. Which, by the way, these are manifestation gifts. God gives these gifts to whoever he wants, whenever he wants, for whatever purpose it is that you need them at that point in time. So we would say that someone does not have the gift of healing. Like, I wouldn't be walking around saying that, like I am a prophet in my spiritual gifting, I have the gift of healing. God might give me a manifestational anointing to minister healing to someone or to have a word of knowledge for someone, but I should not walk around with the assumption in my life that I know everything about every person that they're missing because I have the gift of word of knowledge, right? Whereas by who I am in my gifting as a prophet, that's my perspective. That's a worldview. So one is a manifestation. One is a gift of grace, the other one is called, right? So this manifest, God gives word of knowledge, word of wisdom, faith, healing, miracles, discernment, whatever it is that you need in the moment from these manifestation giftings, that's what God grants. That's what he gives. And he does those things, Paul's very clear in 1 Corinthians 12, for the sake of the edification of the body. So this is about building up, right? This is about building up, and that's important for where Paul is going, because the Corinthians have begun to worship particularly one particular gift. What is it? Tongues. That's right. They've begun to worship the gift of tongues, the ability to speak in utterance of the Spirit in a way that other people do not have that same utterance, do not have that same gift. And so a person stands up and is declaring something in the Spirit. And we don't know if they were declaring it in a language that was unknown or in a language that's purely a language of the Spirit. But we do know is that there's another gift that he gives us that goes with tongues. And what's that? Interpretation of tongues. Exactly. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, faith, healing. These are all manifestation gifts, particularly of the nature of prophecy, which is where he brings us by the time we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. which is where we want to go. All right? But we want to go there without, we don't want to go there without giving proper attention to what it is that he says in 1 Corinthians 13, which we all know. If I have everything, if I can do any amazing spiritual thing that you can possibly imagine, but I don't have love, I have nothing. I have nothing. Because these manifestations of the Spirit are not the fullness of the Spirit. So therefore, what we experience in part is in part. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. It's good. But it's only in part. Love is the whole. Love is the fullness. So where love is, and then where a tongue is, now that can be something that's extremely life-giving. But where there is not love, and there is prophecy, where there is not love, and there is healing, where there is not love, and there is word of knowledge, that all that is, Paul says, is a clanging cymbal. It's just noise. It's just spiritual chaos, which is what they're experiencing. Then we get to 1 Corinthians 14. Now, this is just as it's a long introduction to get to this point. Don't forget that the purpose for our coming together on these Wednesday nights is the purpose of the concept of prophetic ministry. So maybe at this point, you're still wondering if God has this for you. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Pursue love, as he just told us. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may, what's the next word?
Prophesy.
Pursue love, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Right? Paul is writing this to normal, everyday people in a normal, everyday church setting in Corinth. And he is giving them a green light to desire to receive the manifestation of the Holy Spirit through his spiritual gifts. But more than any of those gifts, he is telling each and every individual person to desire to prophesy to one another. Everybody got that? That's a key concept when it comes to prophetic ministry. If you don't desire to be prophetic, then you won't. Right? If you don't desire to be prophetic, then you won't. God is not going to drop a 2x4 out of heaven on your head that says, prophesy already. Right? If you don't desire it, it will not manifest. This is very similar to the calling to spiritual leadership. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, big long list of characteristics of an elder and characteristics of a deacon and characteristics of their wives and what it means for them. And the very first thing is, if anyone desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. So the very first question, one of the big problems we have in churches today is that we have slots. we need to fill this leadership position. We need to fill this leadership position. Will someone please fill this leadership position? If there's no one saying, I want to fill that leadership position, then we probably should not be filling that leadership position. Because spiritual leadership begins with desire. It begins with a heart that says, I want to serve the Lord like this. It's the same thing when it comes to gifts. It's the same thing when it comes to the nature of prophecy, that we are desiring, that we want to edify our brothers and sisters, to build up our brothers and sisters, to build up the community of the faith by speaking the word of the Lord to one another.